This is the Digital Savage Experience Podcast, hosted by Roman Prokopchuk, bringing you all things digital marketing, tech, business, and motivation. What's stopping you from becoming relentless in all aspects of life? Are you ready to become a digital savage? Let's get into today's episode.
Hey everyone, this is Roman Prokopchuk, and this is the Digital Savage Experience Podcast. Today I have with me Dr. Debbie Silber. She's a founder of the Post-Betrayal Transformation Institute and is a holistic psychologist, a health mindset and personal development expert, the author of Trust Again, along with other books, and a podcast host. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Looking forward to our conversation.
Happy to have you on. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get to where you are today?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's actually my 30th year in business, and you know, you don't focus on something like betrayal unless you have to, you know. So it was health and then mindset and then personal development. And then I had a really painful betrayal from my family. Thought I did everything I needed to do to heal from that. And then it happened again a few years later. This time it was my husband. That was the deal breaker. So got him out of the house and looked at the two experiences thinking, well, what's similar to these two? Of course, me, but what else? And I realized, you know, I never really took my needs seriously and boundaries were always getting crossed. And I'm one of those people that really believe if nothing changes, nothing changes. So here I was, four kids, six dogs, a thriving business. And I was like, you know what? I'm going back for a PhD. Like a book wasn't getting me out of this mess. I needed a whole PhD in it. And it was in transpersonal psychology, the psychology of transformation and human potential. And while I was there, I did a study. I studied betrayal, what holds us back, what helps us heal, and what happens to us physically, mentally, and emotionally when the people closest to us lie, cheat, and deceive. That study led to three groundbreaking discoveries, which changed my health, my family, my business, my life.
Now, what's kind of the process? I mean, I think everybody's experienced betrayal in their lives. And I think the, I wouldn't say the problem, but the situation is a lot of people truly don't heal. So they'll carry it. And then the next time they're betrayed or something of that nature happens, it adds even more and more kind of, weight on their shoulders. So how does someone kind of come to the realization or move on without, having as little amount of scars as possible, you know, moving forward?
Yeah. Well, repeat betrayal is a clear sign that it hasn't been healed. And, you know, we think time, we've heard time heals all wounds, or we think a new relationship will heal it. And it's not the case at all. So healing is deliberate and intentional. And if someone is just counting on time or a new relationship, they will find it follows, that unhealed betrayal will follow them around like a shadow. And that, I mean, that was just one of the things we saw so clearly in the study and in the discoveries. And I'm happy to share them if you want to hear.
Yeah, I think the audience would benefit from that.
Yeah, sure. So the first one was, you know, originally I was studying something called post-traumatic growth. And for those who aren't familiar, post-traumatic growth is, if you can imagine, kind of an upside of trauma, how that trauma, whatever it is, death of a loved one, disease, natural disaster, leaves you with a new awareness, insight, perspective that you didn't have. But I had been through death of a loved one. I'd been through disease. And I was like, nope, betrayal feels very different. I didn't want to assume it was the same for all my study participants. So I asked him, if you've been through other traumas besides betrayal, does betrayal feel different for you? Unanimously, they said, oh my gosh, it's so different. And here's why. Because it feels so intentional, we take it so personally. So the entire self gets shattered and has to be rebuilt. You know, think about it. Rejection, abandonment, belonging, confidence, worthiness, trust, they're all shattered. Where let's say if you lose someone you love, you know, you grieve, you're sad, you mourn the loss, but you don't question your ability to trust. You know, you don't necessarily lose your confidence. So it needed, this type of healing needed its own name, which is now called post-betrayal transformation, the complete and total rebuild of your life and yourself after an experience with betrayal. So that betrayal is a very different type of trauma was the first discovery.
Yeah, I feel like that can also carry over if it's not addressed or, you know, heal to other parts of your life. I think, especially now in terms of, you know, career and things of that nature. So if you're an entrepreneur, you have your own business, or you're, you know, employed, you know, it's getting to be a somewhat of a tough economic climate with layoffs and things of that nature. So I feel like potentially if you're fired or laid off, you'll kind of compartmentalize like it was your fault or something of that nature. And it can spill over into other parts of your life as well.
Well, and that's a great point. You know, we'll see an unhealed betrayal showing up in your health, in your work, in relationships. Here's how. In, let's say, relationships, I'll see it in one of two ways. The first we talked about, a repeat betrayal. Clear sign it's not healed. The second way we see it in relationships is the big wall goes up. It's like, been there, done that. No one's getting near me again. We think that's coming from a place of strength. It's not. It's coming from fear. It's like, my heart was so shattered, that hurt way too much. I'm not risking that level of vulnerability to possibly experience that ever again. So the big wall goes up. You know, the downside of that is, you sure, you keep the bad ones out, but you're keeping out the good ones too. We see it in health. People go to the most well-meaning doctors, coaches, healers, therapists to manage an unhealed betrayal. You know, we're at the root of it is an unhealed betrayal. All these stress-related symptoms, illnesses, conditions, disease. And you mentioned work. I mean, we see it there all the time too. Like someone may, for example, they may want that raise or promotion. They deserve it, but their confidence was shattered in the betrayal. So they don't have the confidence to ask, or they want to be that team player, collaborative partner, great joint venture partner, but the person they trusted the most proved untrustworthy. How do they trust that boss, that coworker, that partner? So it shows up in every single area of life until and unless it's fully healed.
How do you kind of break the that chain, or the steps you can take to do so? Because I feel, you know, a lot of people have experienced this, and a lot of people mm-hmm. don't necessarily know that they have. And then they continually ask, why me? Why does this keep happening to me? So what are the kind of like, obviously kind of coming to the realization this is happening, but what are kind of the healing steps or the process to take in order to kind of get back on your feet or be able to come at something in kind of a clean slate, if you will, with not having it kind of like, you know, repeat itself?
Sure. Actually, that was the third discovery. The second one, and I can get back to that one later. But the third discovery, for me, this was the most exciting. And what we learned was, while we can stay stuck for years, decades, a lifetime, and so many people do, if we're going to fully heal, going from symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome, which I'm happy to share after, to that rebuilt place of post-betrayal transformation where you rebuild your life and yourself, we're going to go through five now proven predictable stages. And what's even more exciting about that is we know what happens physically, mentally, and emotionally at every one of those stages. And we know what it takes to move from one stage to the next. Healing is entirely predictable. And I'm happy to go through the five stages if that would serve.
Yeah, we can cover them and kind of, you know, talk about them as you mention them.
Sure. So, I mean, it's what we teach within the PBT Institute. It's what all of our coaches get certified in, all mapped out in my book, Trust Again. Here's an abbreviated sort of rundown. So stage one is kind of before it happens. And if you can imagine four legs of a table, the four legs being physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, what I saw with every study participant, me too, was a real heavy lean on the physical and the mental, thinking and doing, and kind of neglecting or ignoring the emotional and the spiritual, feeling and being. Well, you know, it's like a table with only two legs, easy for that table to topple over. That's us. Stage two, shock, trauma, D-Day, Discovery Day. This is the scariest of all of the stages. And this is the breakdown of the body, the mind, and the worldview. So this is when you get the news, you know, and it's like that person that you trusted so much, like takes the mask off and you're like, that's who you've been. And what happens right there is we've ignited the stress response. So now we're headed for every single stress-related symptom, illness, condition, disease. The mind is in a complete and total state of chaos and overwhelm. We cannot wrap our mind around the information we just learned. Makes no sense. And our worldview has just been shattered. Our worldview is our mental model, the rules that govern us, that prevent chaos. Don't go there. Trust this person. This is how life works. And in one earth-shattering moment, or series of moments, every rule you've ever held to be real and true, is no longer. The bottom has truly bottomed out on you, and a new bottom hasn't been formed yet. So this is terrifying. But think about it. If the bottom were to bottom out on you, what would you do? You'd grab hold of anything you could to stay safe and stay alive. That's stage three. Survival instincts emerge. It's the most practical out of all of the stages. If you can't help me, get out of my way. How do I survive this experience? Who can I trust? Where do I go? Like, how do I feed my kids? Here's the trap, though. Stage three, by far, is the one that most people get stuck in. And in fact, I bet you know so many people right now stuck in this stage. And this is where people stay for life. And here's why. Once you've figured out how to survive your experience, because it feels so much better than the shock and trauma of where you just came from, you think it's good. And you're like, okay, I got this. And because you don't know there's anywhere else to go, you don't know there's a stage four or stage five, transformation doesn't even begin until stage four. But because you don't know there's anywhere else to go, you start planting roots here. You're like, okay, you know, this is my new life. Let me figure this out. You settle in here. You're not supposed to, but you don't know that. And four things happen. The first thing is you start getting all those small self benefits, you know, from being here. You get your story, right? We love our story. You get to be right. You get someone to blame. You get sympathy from everyone you tell your story to. And on some level, that feels good. So you plant deeper roots. You're not supposed to, but you don't know that. And now that you're here longer than you should be, now the mind starts doing things like, well, maybe you deserved it. Maybe you're not that great. Maybe this, maybe that. So you plant deeper roots. Again, you're not supposed to be here, but you don't know. And now, because these are the thoughts you're thinking, well, this is the energy you're putting out. Like energy attracts like energy. So now you start calling situations and circumstances and relationships towards you to confirm, yep, this is where you belong. Like the misery loves company crowd, they find you now. It's all in this stage. It gets worse, but I'll get you out of here. Because it feels so bad, but you don't know there's anywhere else to go, right here, you start numbing, avoiding, distracting. You start using food, drugs, alcohol, work, TV, scrolling, whatever, to numb, avoid, distract. So think about it. You do that for a day. You do it for a week. You do it for a month, a year. You know, it's a habit. Now 10 years, 20 years. And I can seriously see someone 20 years out and say that drinking you're doing or that emotional eating or that numbing in front of the TV, you think that has anything to do with your betrayal? And they would look at me like I'm crazy. You know, see, it happened 20 years ago. All they did was put themselves in stage three and stay there. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. It's one of those things, like you said, if you're stuck in that specific stage, you can't truly kind of move on or heal. You think you're dealing with it or kind of combating it or you're okay. But like you said, at that point, you're potentially tapping into different vices or reoccurring habits to kind of, you know, use as coping mechanisms. I think I've had that with my dad. I haven't spoken to my dad in like 14 years, but in terms of my childhood, him not being around, being abusive to my mom, my grandparents, my aunt, you know, physically, you know, other ways as well. And I thought I would, you know, I dealt with it. Do people kind of harness that in a positive way too, and they can still be stuck in that? Because I feel like I wasn't okay, but I started working out heavily, like lifting really hard as like my coping mechanism with it, but I didn't feel like I necessarily dealt with it. Is that a thing? Do people do that as well?
Another way to numb. It could be another way to numb. Absolutely. And that's the thing. And this is why, that's actually why I wrote my last book, From Hardened to Healed, because you've been through the worst of it already. But what we do is we stay in, and From Hardened to Healed is just for stage three, because we think this is as good as it's going to get. Let me just figure out a way to be okay with it and find all these ways to be okay, but we're not doing the work to transform. And then we have so many people coming into the PBT Institute with therapy trauma. This is another thing too. Now, I'm a psychologist, but I'm a coach first. If anything is going to glue you to stage three, it's going over your story endlessly, unpacking it and unpacking it and unpacking it without having a concrete plan to move to stage four. and stage five. So we see that all the time. And then once we get our, you know, we get our people, you know, we get our group, then think about also, here's where we'll sabotage ourselves from healing, because we don't want to lose our people. We don't want to lose our group. So we find and we create this life for ourselves in stage three. And that's why so many of us stay there. And I did two TEDx talks, and the first one was about that very topic, how we will sabotage ourselves because we don't want to outgrow what's comfortable and familiar, even if it stinks. But if you're willing, willingness is a big word right here. If you're willing to let go of those small self benefits, that whole being stuck, right? You move to stage four. I mean, you have to grieve. You have to mourn the loss, bunch of things you need to do, but then you can move to stage four. Stage four is finding and adjusting to a new normal. So here's where you acknowledge, I can't undo what happened, but I control what I do with it. Just in that decision, you're turning the stress response down. You're not healing just yet, but at least you stopped the massive damage you were creating in stage two and stage three. It's like you've woken up right here. And I use the example of, like, if you've ever moved, you know, to a new house, office, condo, apartment, whatever, all your stuff's not there. It's not quite cozy yet, but you're like, okay, we can do this. It feels like that. But think about it. You know, if you were to move, you don't take everything with you. You don't take those things that don't represent who you want to be in that new space. And one of the biggest things I see as people go from stage three to stage four is a change in relationships. You know, like, let's say you were in stage three and you had all those, like, that in an awful club people, you don't take them with you, you know, or the people who were just commiserating, or the people that you had so much in common because life stunk and you were all in that terrible space. You've outgrown them right here. It's the same thing. Very common, but people don't get that. So what they very often do is sabotage themselves because they're afraid of leaving that group. But this is where transformation happens. Now, if those people rise, they can come with you. But here's where you're very deliberate about, wait a second, that one-sided friendship, not coming with me. That person who is just, you know, using me, abusing, whatever, no way, you don't take them with you. Anyway, when you're in stage four, you're making it kind of cozy, mentally home, you move to the fifth most beautiful stage. And this is healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. Your body starts to heal. Self-love, self-care, eating well, exercise. You know, you didn't have the bandwidth for a lot of that earlier on. Now you do. Like in your case, you were working out, but it was, may have been used as a coping mechanism, not as a, like, wow, I'm feeling really good now. Now I'm going to do all these deliberate actions to just improve my life that much more. Your mind starts to heal. You're making new rules. You're making new boundaries, you know, based on the road you just traveled. And you have a whole new worldview based on everything you see so clearly now. And the four legs of the table, in the beginning, it was all about the physical and the mental. By this point, we're solidly grounded because we're focused on the emotional and the spiritual too. Those are the five stages.
And you think kind of move, like you said, you know, getting rid of people that, you know, relationships are kind of one-sided, or you're being used for one reason or the other, like moving from, I guess, three to four. Do you think you should cut everyone out in the way? I know there's some people that, like, you know, are from childhood or even your family. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's family members that, you know, you have friends that are closer than your family based on how they act and, you know, them being toxic, mm-hmm. and, you know, you not associating. But is there a level of you can still kind of keep them in your life in a way, but not have them impact you, if that makes sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. You love them for who they are and where they are. But you're not going to sabotage your healing or your where you're growing and going to just to stay on that same level. You're looking at them very differently. You're loving and appreciating them, and you're growth minded. You're in a different mental, emotional space.
Now, if you go kind of through this five step method, and you're kind of, you know, on track, if something else happens, let's say traumatic, or, you know, like you said, a betrayal, does that throw you back to step one? Like, you have to kind of come to the realization and understand, like, you know, and set you up for two, where you're kind of self-aware of it? Or is it, can you plug yourself back into a different stage in a way? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, one thing is, you, it would be a different experience because your BS meter is so sharpened and strong. You've strengthened your intuition. You trust your gut. So you're very unlikely to have the same type of experiences happen. If something totally different, though, were to happen, you have so many different skills and tools that you didn't have available to you. So like, for example, if you stayed in stage three for 20, 30 years, because you had no idea there was a stage four and stage five, right? You would, and let's say it just out of the blue, crazy, you didn't see it coming, whatever, an experience happened, you would not stay in stage three very long because you know it's like quicksand.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think even like what you deal with, how you kind of dealt with how I would deal with a circumstance or situation 10 years ago is a lot different. Like you said, based on those life experiences and how you learn how to handle certain situations. So I think like you mentioned, you can identify things a little bit better, especially before they even come. You know, you meet someone and you kind of can gauge what they're about, or kind of like you can look back, like this is the situation, that this is what it's going to kind of develop based on what you've already experienced. So you can kind of, I guess, kind of feel certain things that may be a threat per se and put you in kind of like the same situation again.
Well, you know, it's also so often we look for relationships that it's like, let's just say you grew up with some kind of trauma and then your relationships after that kind of resembled some level of that in some kind of way. It's not because they're good. It's because like, oh, I know how this goes. I know how to do this. I know my role in this. And the whole idea is after an experience with betrayal that has absolutely shattered everything you know, you go into it like if it's remotely familiar, now it's not a fit. Where it used to be like, okay, that's what I know, so let me just do that. You've grown so much that you see that and it's like you wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite response where you're kind of comfortable with it, or in a way like, you know, I've experienced it. Let me, you know, I'm okay to deal with it or cope with it. Whereas, like you said, you kind of turn around and at that point you identify it and know you shouldn't be in it and don't even get to that point.
Exactly. You're also, you know, you're attracting very different people. The same people you were aligned with and you attracted when, you know, before your experience, once you've done the healing, you just don't, you're not a match for that anymore. You don't find yourself with those people in that, you know, just in that same pool. You're just swimming in a very different pool.
Yeah, I think your mindset changes. And like, I guess to get through the stages, you need, you know, truly to have a mindset shift so that wouldn't align from who you were to who you are now.
And I'll tell you, this goes also for the other side. You know, we have a program for the betrayer as well. And people say, oh, betrayers can't change. Well, first of all, I can explain in my example, and just to close the loop on my story, rebuilding is always a choice, whether you rebuild yourself and move on. And that's what I did with my family. Wasn't an option to rebuild with them. Or if the situation lends itself, if you're willing, if you want to, you rebuild something from the ground up new with the person who hurt you. That's what I did with my husband. You know, not long ago, as two totally transformed people, we married each other again. New rings, new vows, new dress, and our four kids as our bridal party. Betrayal will wake both of you up. But it can wake up the betrayer. First of all, it can let you know who someone truly is. It also has the opportunity to wake the betrayer up to who they temporarily became. But what I see so often is people are so afraid of that death and destruction of the old. That's why they don't rebirth the new. Like in my case, that was the end. That was the deal breaker. Done. Out of the house. Here I am, single mom, raising my kids, doing my thing, right? Willing to just let it all go because that wasn't a fit for who I wanted in my life. But what, you know, and I guess because of the dramatic end of the old, you know, the betrayer has an opportunity too, if that's where they're at, to be like, what did I just do? I just blew up my whole family, you know, and they can wake up as well. So we have programs for the betrayed and the betrayer, and I see it every day.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have to come to some kind of realization or self-awareness of, you know, their mm-hmm. actions, and they truly want to change. And I feel like it's harder, I guess, when the person's also a narcissist, where, you know, throughout my life, I try to kind of, reconcile with my father, but it was always like, a hidden agenda. And after a while, I would let the time in which I gave him an opportunity kind of shrink over time, and me seeing what it was really about, because it was one of those things. I think I know he really wanted a family just for kind of show, and behind closed doors, he was never around. So he wanted to be viewed as like a family man, or, you know, a good father at like weddings, social occasions, different family get-togethers. But anything other than that, it was just like non-existent and complete opposite. So I feel like you said, the person that was the betrayer, they have to come to some kind of thought process, like, you know, I did this, you know, this was the action, regardless of like what my intention was, and own that, and, you know, choose to change or take another path. Whereas, you know, my example, it was kind of like a cycle. And at that point, I left it in that person's or my dad's plate, and he hasn't really, you know, taken any action on that or come to a realization where it's like, you know, let's start from scratch, or like, let's just have a conversation in person. It's been really 14 years since I've seen him in person. All I get is really a text message like happy birthday or Merry Christmas, and a blank check, a blank card with a $500 check on my birthday. And, you know, that's about it, which it is what it is. But yeah, I think you have to come to some kind of realization and take the steps to move forward, or, you know, make amends as well.
And in a case like that, I mean, you know, my family's case, you have very little to work with there. So this is where you heal yourself and you move on. And, you know, you learn what not to do. Like I learned so many lessons of what not to do. And I want to think it's made me a much better mom to my four kids, you know, and that's when it's trauma well served.
Yeah. And, I mean, that healing is important, because if you don't, heal from it, you'll carry it into your next relationship. And, you know, a lot of people, men and women, it's, you know, they're quote unquote damaged at that point, or kind of like beyond, you know, saving in a way where it's, you know, they've been so shattered and stuck, I guess, and not being able to move into that kind of healing process, that they just carry that over and add more of it, where it's just, you know, that person isn't that person who they, you know, were anymore. And sometimes they don't even recognize themselves.
Yeah. And it's a waste of trauma when that happens. You know, if you've been through something so painful, you owe it to yourself to become this transformed version of you because of it.
Yeah. And in terms of kind of like the definition, I guess, of betrayal, would you see like somebody, you know, passing away? Can if it was in my life, can I view that as a betrayal because they're not there anymore? They kind of, you know, left me without, you know, that person or that role in their life, even though it's not like a direct, you know, negative action chosen by that person. Could that fit in that mold as well at times?
Well, you know, that's more like a betrayal of expectations. Okay. You know, it's like you expected that person to be around or be the mother or father that they're supposed to be. And in your mind and in your heart, that wasn't what you got. So it's like it's more like your expectations, a betrayal of expectations, I would say.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what's one piece of advice you can leave with the audience, you know, if they're maybe dealing with it or something that you've seen, one kind of tidbit that may help somebody in that kind of situation?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I didn't do anything anybody else couldn't do, and there wasn't a roadmap for it. Now there is. So there's really, staying stuck is a choice. But what I would say is, it's you take it so personally and you think it's all about you. If you have to say this to yourself a million times, it's worth it. Even though it happened or it's happening to you, it's not about you. Like in your example with, you know, with your dad, it's not about you. You could easily interpret it as I'm not this enough or that enough or whatever. It has nothing to do with you. So, but it's one of those things, until we really get that, we absorb all that pain because we think, well, if I were this or that, that never would have happened. Not at all. it's not about you.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people, when, you know, that happens to them, they don't, I guess, address or see like they're, I guess, not the ones to blame in that situation, but they look for excuses. Maybe this person would have not done X if I wasn't, you know, A, B, C, D, you know, E, F, G, and kind of take the blame and mm-hmm. put that kind of, you know, guilt and pain on their shoulders, whereas, you know, it's really happened to you and, you know, you didn't deserve it and you didn't cause it.
And seeing that it has nothing to do with you and looking at it objectively then can just make you so much better, because then you're like, okay, that I would never cause that pain, you know, on another human being. And I am going to be the best friend, you know, parent, sibling, whatever, because of it. That's the opportunity.
Yeah, I think I did like that. That's the road I kind of chose, where it's, you know, I saw mm-hmm. how my father or the non-existent, you know, version of, you know, a father he was. I kind of vowed when I was growing up, like childhood, you know, early adolescence, that I wouldn't be like that, regardless of, you know, what interactions I had as an adult man yeah. with, you know, children in my life. And, you know, my wife and I in the last 4 years have fostered 29 kids. And I've tried to kind of, it's definitely a journey and a lot of, you know, stories behind that. But I've tried to be, you know, that kind of present person and somebody loving and somebody, you know, fostering environment of healing, because a lot of the kids are coming from, you know, turbulent situations, things they've seen, things that yeah. have happened to them. And, you know, it's been, I guess, beneficial and fruitful that I was able to harness that in a way, put it behind me and see who I wanted to be because of that, you know, negative interaction or having that kind of negative, depiction of who my father is. I had other male role models, my grandfather and stuff like that, who to be, but like vowing to myself that I would be better than that when the time came. Yeah.
And look at it, what a beautiful gift. What a beautiful gift for all those children that have had the opportunity to get that kind of love because of what you didn't get. I mean, that's the opportunity right there. It is such a waste of trauma to go through something painful and keep it going or suffer because of it. But like in my example, now we're helping thousands of people heal. In your example, you're such a great role model for these kids that are blessed to come your way. I mean, that's the opportunity. I feel like we're all obligated to go through something. And if you learn something, do something good with it. Do something good with it.
Yeah, I say a lot of the time that everything in life is a lesson or a blessing. And, you know, all those negative things, negative interactions, betrayals that have happened to you, taking it, using it as a lesson to then positively potentially impact others as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I really appreciate you stopping by today. Can you let the audience know how they can find you or anything else you have going on?
Yeah, sure. I mean, everything, you can find everything at the PBT Institute. The PBT is in post-betrayal transformation, thepbtinstitute.com.
Awesome. Thank you again for stopping by.
Thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by Nova Zora Digital. Find out how Nova Zora Digital can help your company grow online. Learn more at NovaZoraDigital.com. Until next time, all you digital savages.